my lovelies. I'm Jay at Crone Insight, and these are going to be our weekly messages. Quite the reading. And I say that every single bloody week, but they are. They're all quite the readings. Last full week of Pisces season. There seems to be a bit of a wrap-up energy in this. And I don't just think it's of this week or of this season. I think we go back to, in a sense, we're going back to, let me have a look here. Yeah, it looks like we're going back to Capricorn season. Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces, wrap up. And then we've got Aries and Taurus energy that comes in. That is the infinite, the card that you see on the screen right now. As I continue to pull the cards on the screen, I do want to say this. I always forget by the end because I'm just so get caught up in the message. Please support your girl in any way that you can support me, whether that's by making a donation, whether that's by sharing this on social media, if you're on social media, or sharing it with people that you think might be interested. It really helps, guys, and I need your help. So support in whichever way you're able to support me, by sharing my content or by supporting me to create it, right? I'm pat on the back, Jay, I remembered. Okay, so that's the Aquarius card that came out from this. I think that deck's called the Seasons of the Witch, and that's the in bulk one. Strange, it's not really my type of deck usually, but it is apparently this time. There's something about it that it spoke to me, so I have used it. All right, I'm going to continue pulling the cards. Oh, actually, there's two cards that come out, and you'll see why I say we go back to Capricorn season. I think the first one that flies out is the Three of Earth, which is the Three of Pentacles, and then it's the Five of Earth, which is the Five of Pentacles. So, I mean, that came up in the actual spread, spoiler alert, and that's Capricorn energy. That's actually Mars in Capricorn. So you can see we've just gone through these transits. So look back, look at your calendar or whatever program or astrology app you use. That's the Three of Earth. And look at when Mars entered Capricorn. I would have checked it, but hey, that's something that you guys can easily check. So check when Mars entered Capricorn, because that's kind of the period, I think. Like, something, did you start something then? Did you think about how you could build it, what you could do with it? We've got obviously Aquarius energy with that Oracle card, Aquarius, coming up. Then we have, well, this Pisces season, and the infinite very much speaks to the end of this Pisces season, the end of the zodiacal year. There's the Five of Earth. That's Taurus. And we also have Aries on here on the table as well. So this is it's not a weekly, basically. I want to say that. It is a weekly, and all of my weeklies are like that. I've said that before, right? It's a weekly message, but it is not for the week necessarily. It's to orient yourself. And if you really want to orient yourself, you know, it's like if you did a daily reading, you pulled a card for yourself today. It's in the context of what happened yesterday and what you plan for tomorrow. And it's the same with these weeklies. So this one's going all the way back to Capricorn season. And I think it actually goes forward all the way to Virgo season, if I'm completely honest. Oh, I just realized we've got Gemini as well. Bloody hell. It's all happening here. Yeah, I think that's what I want to say around that. I do pull a rune as well, which has again got very Taurus energy to it. So think about this, right? After this week, and this is the week after the new moon in Pisces. So we're stepping into something new. It is a rebirth, and you'll see that with the infinite. Then we have eclipse season. So hold on to your hats. If you think things have changed now, right, and your situation might have changed, your vision might have changed, your circumstances might have changed, but the key part to all of that is going to be you and how you show up and how you tackle it and how you go forward. And so that eclipse season will take care of that, she says. I don't mean to make that sound ominous. And then I think Taurus is when it takes hold. You know, the earth energy that's coming up. We start building or doing or whatever it is in Taurus season. So that's, I mean, straight away, I got that just from looking at these. But let me read you the infinite. Where is it? It says, the eternal life force, cycles of growth, rising from the ashes, many deaths and rebirths within one's life. You are so much more than your physical body. The beings in Lemuria are said to have lived for many hundreds of years. As they were only partially incarnated, their bodies were much lighter, less physically actualized, and less affected by aging. They were also aware of their infinite nature. The Lemurians were multidimensional beings and regularly traversed realms other than the physical, including the places before and after death. Anyone that's read, I don't know why this is coming up. Anyone that's read the Celestine Prophecy, and especially when we get to the Shambhala one, I think that's the 12th prophecy or something like that. They look at a lot of this. Actually, I think by the end of the first one, yeah, the Celestine Prophecy, we start seeing dynamics like this. So this is not a novel idea. If you've been, dipping your toe in the spiritual pool for a while now, then you've heard about this kind of thing before. It doesn't just have to be about the Lemurians. Where were we? So as we become aware that we are so much more than our physical bodies, we may experience a sense of the eternal. Thus, fear around death gives way to recognizing new beginnings. So we remember what is real and focus on what we wish for this life. Now remember that, what we wish for this life. Whatever we believe will happen when our body goes back to the earth, we can live to the fullest while we are here in this incarnation. You may feel like you have led many lives and expressed different faces to the world. We can experience many, many deaths and rebirths as we allow outdated parts of ourselves to fall away. When we choose to align our lives with our spirit, we may find we experience more of these many deaths. They can be daunting, but are fast. What? A fast. Tra fa oh, sorry. I thought it said cracking. I was like, what the hell? They can be daunting, but are fast tracking our growth to prepare us for the shining new chapter that beacons, that beckons even. Don't know why I can't read today, but hey. Divinatory meaning. The card of rebirth can appear after challenges that have required a level of surrender. And that's Pisces all over. You have arrived at a beginning. Revel in your newfound inner freedom. Blockages have fallen away, doors are opening, and there are opportunities to step into. Stretch your wings and see how far they can reach. Rise from the ashes like a phoenix. Born and look, Queen of Wands rising out of those ashes, so perfect. Where was I? Rise from the ashes like a phoenix, born anew, ready for a new cycle of growth. Celebrate, honor the road that brought you here, and prepare to take flight with the tools you have gathered through your elevation process. Now, I do want to say that I don't know if I said this at the beginning. There's so much that was as I started this to say. If you're on the Discord server, then you know this already. The readings that I did for Aquarius season, like they were big and they were different. How do I know they're different? Because I remembered every single one after I had done them. I don't remember readings after I do them. Sometimes when sometimes I get comments and people respond to the reading and I have no idea what they're talking about. But unless someone says to me, "Oh, at this point you said this," and then give me the response, I don't know what I said. And sometimes I get messages which are just like, "Oh yeah, I did something," which if I had just said it, I would have remembered. I would have known what they were talking about, but I don't usually know because I don't remember. Aquarius season is different. I remember all the readings. Which tells me that the Aquarius season seasonals are not just Aquarius season. The same way that I said this is like a bigger, this is some detail within a bigger picture. That's the same with the Aquarius seasonals. So, bookmark them, go check them out, do whatever, revisit them. I don't say that to get more views, just to be clear, because I don't get paid for views. I don't get ad money. I don't get any of that stuff. So I'm literally saying, and I say that because not because I think you think that about me, and not that it would matter if you did, right? Every statement's a nice statement. It's because I think so many of us say that out here, like, "Oh, make sure you rewatch this," or "add this to your bookmark," or "watch it again," that we can stop hearing it. And that is literally information that I have for you, which is that those Aquarius seasonals are much more than just Aquarius season. That may have been part of the vision, but I'm sure they may speak to you. I mean, come Gemini season or come Libra season if you want to do save it for the air seasons or the fixed seasons, Taurus season maybe. Excuse me. But let's go forward, right? So then I have, let me put this book down because it's too big. I'll show you it. The Aquarius card. It says on here, all are capable of dreaming. I mean, that's Pisces, right? All are capable of dreaming, but it is those who surrender. But it is those who surrender to vision who are visionaries. It is those who surrender to vision who are visionaries. So that surrender part is very Pisces as well. I'm gonna put that back there, right? And this is what it says. If I had the right page, that would be so amazing. Okay. Keywords: visionary, individuality, risk-taking. She's a risk-taker. Aquarius energy is all about vision and independence. The answer to your question cannot be found in your past. We know that. That's why we blasted the past last week, right? The answer to your question cannot be found in your past or in what is familiar and will require you to take some risks. Try something new or find a favorable outcome. While you may wish to seek additional guidance or have considered opinions from people you trust, this card indicates the way forward is for you and you alone to decide. Now, that's something that I've had to really come to grips with. I mean, that's been part of my journey with Aquarian Insight. Just speaking as an Aquarius here, which is no one tries to mislead you. No one, tr everyone tries to help you. Especially, I mean, especially the people that love you, right? That you trust. We're talking about people that you trust and that you love. They are trying to help you, but they don't see what you see. They don't dream what you dream, right? Their vision is not the same as your vision, and nor should it be. Right? It shouldn't be. That's not the point. That's why it's your vision. It's for you to do because you see it. That's you show up from that place. And so in that sense then, and this has been a long-term theme, if anyone remembers that article about becoming a vampire, right? How, if all of your friends turn into vampires, they couldn't advise you because they're no longer human. They're vampires now. You don't know if they're talking to you from their vampiric sense. And the only way you'll know whether you should become a vampire or not is you have to become one. To find out these some things you have to experience before you know if they're right or wrong, or for you, right? Not in general. So remember that anything that's familiar at this time, or how you've always done it, or whatever, it may not help you, right? It in fact, it probably won't. If you're going for an outcome that you already know, or a way of doing it more rather, then keep doing what you did, you keep getting what you got. So, where was I on this? Okay. This card indicates the way forward is for you and you alone to decide. Give yourself a chance to go after what you want, even if it feels unrealistic or impossible. Naysayers may consider your actions reckless, but that's only because they can't see the possibilities that are so clear to you. Perhaps because this is your contribution to the world or a gift. We've got two gift cards, Six of Swords, Six of Wands, by the way. Or a gift that is meant specifically for you. New ideas, unconventional means, and eclectic partnerships. Think about eclectic partnerships with the Three of Earth here, Three of Pentacles, are favored when this card is received. Don't be afraid to stand out due to concern about looking silly. Pulling this card is a fortuitous sign that fortune favors the bold, Queen of Wands. Now, here's the thing about if you look silly and stuff, and I'll say this as someone who did this for the longest time, right? First, not showing up because I didn't want to look like a weirdo. Then, when I did show up and feel like a weirdo, anyone that didn't get it, I would kind of put down, like if I'm completely honest. And not to their face, not to whatever, but in my mind to kind of shield myself. Oh, they don't know, or they're just stupid, or they don't see what I see, or they can't appreciate the good stuff, all of this stuff. And that's not necessary. That isn't necessary. There's a lot around beliefs. I mean, hopefully with this Pisces new moon that happened, this is from Monday the 11th. So the Pisces new moon is on Sunday the 10th. Really consider like what your beliefs say about you, and not what you think you believe, King of Swords, King of Air, but what you really believe inside. And, or, hey, just listen to your thoughts. So if you're always thinking, oh God, people are so stupid, right? That's a belief. You believe people are stupid. first of all, your people, so you probably believe you're stupid, but also, you know, think about how that is going to, that's going to go into everyone that you meet. Because you, when you come across someone, meet someone new, your first thing is, right, how to spot their stupidity. It's just a stupid example. But it's really important to know what you believe. It's really important to know what you believe. And part of that, you know, the phoenix rising up from the ashes is not we remain the same. Like, think about that. The phoenix is burned. You are the phoenix. If you're rising up from the ashes, all of that old shit, that old judgment, old criticism, the old blinkered way of viewing the world, maybe what you bring to the table, right, with the Three of Earth there, it's changed. Or at least allow it to change. You may not know what the new thing is. You know, Six of Swords coming up right here, which is, don't know where I'm going, but I know I'm not going back. We're leaving the past behind. We have the Sun there with that. There's clarity on what we're leaving behind. Don't know where we're going yet, though. What is it that we're leaving behind? The King of Swords. Now, I'm not saying that you're leaving your whole mind behind. That's, I don't like that kind of thing. But almost like it's the known. The King of Swords knows. You know, he has one of the decks that I use, but I'll show you here. So I've had this deck for a while. I don't use it, for this is a personal deck. Like, I only use this deck for myself. And I haven't used it, but I pulled it out last night, actually. That's why I sat here on my desk. But the King of Swords, or the King of Blades in this deck, is, anyone that's watched Supernatural, is Cain. And anyone that knows Cain from, yes, the Bible, Cain and Abel, who killed his brother. The Father of Murder is one of his names. But think about all that he knows, right? The knowledge that he has, how he can be very cold, right? And he has his blade. There's something about this that, you know, because sat underneath it is a Ten of Swords. What am I trying to say here? It's almost like what you know, right? You know it inside out. Like, of course, that sounds obvious, but you do. And what does that mean? It means your history. I was talking to my goddaughter the other day. Excuse me. And she had a few drinks. It was her birthday, actually. No, it wasn't her birthday. This was, I think, the week after her birthday. And she was talking about the past and something that happened. She was bullied and stuff when she was at school. And she's 28 now. So that was like literally half a lifetime ago that she was talking about. I think she was 14 when she's talking about this. And I didn't say to her, like, why are you still talking about it, whatever. I just said to her, do you still feel like that person? Do you still feel like the 14-year-old? And she stopped and thought about it for a moment. And that's the same thing I'm going to ask you, that, you know, if you find yourself talking about the past, thinking about the time, are you still that person? And then this is not like to pretend. If something comes up, you cannot ignore it. You cannot ignore it. But notice your process. Notice how you're going, you know, through this. Notice how, just because you think something, what you do with that thought. When you feel something, what you do with that feeling. When you say whatever you say, what is the belief that motivates that thought, that those words that come out of your mouth? You know, how you see something, what is the belief that motivates that? Because when we're talking about the phoenix rising out of the ashes, and that's judgment card from the tarot, right? And that it can tie into the infinite as well, the judgment card. Then that is what's burned away, right? And not just like the choices that you make, but why you make those choices and how you make those choices. Not just the opinions that you hold, but why you hold those opinions. It's one of the things that I hope to show going forward, just give you a little sneak peek of the stuff that I've been working on, to that we've spent so much, just take the last 4 years, like, you know, just take the last 4 years. We've spent so much of the last 4 years making a case for why we should vote for this, why we should eat this, why we should do that, why we should get this jab, not get this jab, do whatever, right? As if the thing is inherently good or bad. Before we can do any of that, and it doesn't work. I mean, if it had worked, we wouldn't be in the chaos that we're in, right? That doesn't work. Not anymore. It may have worked at one time, doesn't work anymore. Because if that's the way that you think of, like, this is the great best politician to vote for because they do this, and this is the best cause to go for, and this is why I'm right on this, and this is why this social justice theory stands, and this is why that, and you want to make your case for it as if this is a courtroom, because that's what we do, right? When we interact with each other, we try to make a case for something. Excuse me. We do that with our dreams. We do that with the goals that we set. We do that with the people that we interact with. We do that everywhere. We make a case for it. And I would remind you guys that the South Node is in Libra, Justice card, right? So making a case for things. And more importantly, when it comes to laws and regulations and like the philosophies that we have on things, that's, you know, Jupiter, the ruler of Sag, is going to be in Gemini very shortly, in a couple of months, right? Is going to be in Gemini. There's a new truth, the new way of taking information, of discerning what is truth. This is much bigger than just the end of Pisces season. But at the end of Pisces season, we are reflecting this last full week of Pisces. You know, then we've only got the week after, only a few more days of Pisces, then we go into Aries. And that's why the Queen of Wands comes up here, Aries season. Consider, it's not what you decide, it's how you interact with things. It's the process that you go through, especially the logical, how you talk about it, how you think about it, that matters. Let's get some more clarifiers. Oh, I didn't even do the rune, I just remembered. Okay, let's do the rune first. So it's Urus. Oh God, why is I doing upside down? Urus. Strength, manhood, womanhood, the wild ox. The rune of terminations and new beginnings, drawing Urus, indicates that the life you have been living has outgrown its form. No shit. That form must die so that new life can be released in a new form. Seeing a theme here? This is a rune of passage and as such part of the cycle of initiation. Positive growth and change, however, may involve a descent into darkness as part of the cycle of perpetual renewal. As in nature, this progression consists of five aspects: death, decay, fertilization, gestation, rebirth. Events occurring now may well prompt you to undergo a death. Excuse me. I think you've undergone that death because of the infinite. Just we tie them together, right? Where was I? Undergo a death within yourself. And since self-change is never coerced, we are always free to resist. Good luck with that. Remain mindful that the new form, the new life, is always greater than the old. Prepare then for opportunity disguised as loss. Ten of Swords. It could involve the loss of someone or something to which you have an intense emotional bond and through which you are living a part of your life, a part that must be retrieved so you can live it out for yourself. In some way, that bond is being severed. A relationship radically changed, a death experienced. Seek among the ashes and discover a new perspective and new life. The ancient symbol for Urus was the aurax, a wild ox. I always butcher that. When the wild ox was domesticated, an immensely difficult task, it could transport heavy loads. Learn to adapt yourself to the demands of such a creative time. Firm principles attached to this rune. At the same time, humility is called for, since in order to rule, you must learn how to serve. Excuse me. Urus puts you on notice that your soul and the universe support the new growth. Reversed. Without ears to hear and eyes to see, you may fail to take advantage of the moment. The results could well be an opportunity missed or the weakening of your position. It may even seem that your own strength is being used against you. For some, Urus reversed will serve to alert, offering clues in the form of minor failures and disappointments. For others, those more deeply unconscious, it may provide a hard jolt. Reverse this rune calls for serious thought about the quality of your relationship to yourself. But take heart. Consider the constant cycling of death and rebirth, the endless going and return. Everything we experience has a beginning, a middle, and an end, and is followed by a new beginning. Therefore, do not draw back from the passage into darkness. When in deep water, become a diver. All right, so now we'll get the clarifiers. Very much ties in with that, the infinite card, right? Let's start off with this King of Air, or the King of Swords. What have you got for us, mate? I mean, exactly this. This reading is just gonna. I've given you your reading, so trust me. I've given you your reading. If you want to leave here, that's absolutely fine. but don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and support in any way that you can. Just remember. excuse me. The King of Swords. So we got the King of Swords and we got the Two of Swords. This is a decision that we make, right? Two truths. But we're doing it with a way that we have mastered of how to communicate, how to think, what we know, all of this stuff with the King of Air coming up. He's the master of Air. He has mastered the decision making, thoughts, beliefs, ideas, and how to communicate them. So think about how, if you make a decision based on how you have always made decisions, you may make a different decision, but you're actually making the same decision because you're using the same process to make that decision. Hope that makes sense. And if that isn't enough, I mean, that's Libra coming up with that. You've got the Six of Swords over here, which is also an Aquarius card. It's actually Mercury. I think Six of Swords is Mercury in Aquarius. So let me just make sure that is the six. It is six of it. Mercury's in Pisces. I think Venus enters Pisces as well this week, which is interesting. But let's see what that Six of Swords is saying. Mean, I don't know how many other ways we're going to get told to do it different, go in a different direction, take it in a different direction, think differently, speak differently, show up differently. Ten of Wands with the Sun, right? Exactly. So, I mean, we're coming in with this. We've done this. It's probably last week, or even the 6 months leading up to this. Like I said, it begins in Capricorn. The energies that are showing up here, they begin in Capricorn, and the focus is on Capricorn. The first card that flew out was Capricorn, right? So I think Mars in Capricorn. Whenever Mars entered Capricorn, go check that out. That's the Three of Earth. That's the period. What change? If you journal. Or go look at your pictures that you took around that time, or chats that you have. Go and have a look at that date and see what was coming up for you around that time. What changed in that time? What did you want to build? Because it feels like there's a decision that's been made already, right? Or at least, even if the decision has been made, something that needs a decision, like a choice or an options coming up, right? Or a dialogue, this can be conflict, this can be inner conflict. This is the same internal conflict, which is resolved in the old way with the King of Swords. See what comes up around that. Because with the Six of Air, it's, I don't know where I'm going, but I don't know where I'm going, but now I'm not going back. And so the Two of Wands says, okay, but how are you going? You're just leaving another relationship, you're just handing your notice again, you're just looking for another business to start, are you just ditching your group of friends? Are you just going to go hermit mode again? Like, whatever the process is, that Six of Swords, Two of Wands, very clearly, okay, so you don't know where you're going, and you know you're not going back, but how are you doing that? Because the Two of Wands says it's crossroads, and it's the very forward move, and you realize that you get the Two of Swords and the Two of Wands as past energies were coming in with them. Shit needs to change. Like, there's a new decision, there's a new direction. But with the Sun, which provides clarity, in trying to do that, all we can really see is all the reasons why we can't do that yet. Or all the, I ain't got time to do that, or I've got too much burden on, or I haven't got time to go part-time so I can start my business because of the mortgage. Like, the Ten of Wands is the burden that we carry. What, it's, I've always said this, so and I used to get it a lot on YouTube, but I haven't got it now. When I first started doing readings on YouTube, and I get it, it's a good point, I'm not criticizing it. This message of, when I say, oh yeah, well, do what you love, love what you do. First thing that come up, yeah, well, that's easy to say if you haven't got a mortgage to pay, or you're not working three jobs to make ends meet, or do you know what I mean? Like something like that. And that is the Ten of Wands invites that. That's not wrong to do that. Look at that list. Look at all the reasons that you say, well, I can't do that. Because the Sun is showing you that. With the Two of Wands, I mean, that's your obstacle then. The obstacle's the way. Of all the reasons that you can't do something, then how is it a vision, right? Remember, is it a dream then? Are you dreaming something? Or I used to call it the pin-up dream, right? That isn't, you're never going to really do that. Those who surrender to vision, who are visionaries. So is it just a dream? It's nice to dream. Everyone likes a nice dream. Did you know that the majority of your dreams are actually nightmares? Because we process a lot of that difficult. I mean, we don't know why we dream, but a lot of our dreams are actually nightmares. So we don't remember a lot of our dreams. So it is nice to have a nice dream, so you can wake up from a lovely dream, but then let's just call it a dream. It's something that, you know, never going to happen. It's a fantasy, it's illusion, it's Pisces. I don't need to change. I'm stay the same. You know, I'll just have my little dreams and my little fantasies, or write my fan fiction, or escape into my movies, or, you know, date different people, whatever. But I can't surrender to the vision. I cannot become that the me that I would need to become to make this come true. No judgment. But what we're actually saying with the sun coming up there is I want to continue carrying the burden that I've got. Now, some of you might think, I've had this dream that I'm going to do whatever, X, Y, and Z. And you actually realize through this dynamic, which would still be Two of Swords, Two of Wands, you realize through this dynamic that I'm never going to do it. Like, I keep talking about it, but I need to shut that door so I can go do something, or at least be happy with where I am, or engage with my life in a really happy way rather than taunting myself with whatever this dream is. So hey, you know, it's going to be different for each of us, and you figure out which one, what it is for you in that sense. But whichever way, it still turns out to be Two of Swords, Two of Wands. And I think you're at that point as you watch this. There we go, Pisces, the moon coming up. Bloody hell. All right, and we got the Knight of Wands and we got the Fool. Right. I love this. I love this. I love this. So why do I love this? Because with the moon, nothing is as it seems. Three of Pentacles, we build it strong together. It's wrapping up. You know, it's not just the inner team or the outer team. It's about completing a project. It could be a mini death, right? Wrapping something up, completing it. But with the mind that you are now planning for the future, threes are, we're creating for something. Like I said, it's Mars in Capricorn. So think back to then. Excuse me. Maybe you had the urge to do something, complete something, start something, build something, whatever it is, right? How you use your resources, whatever it is that you're going to build, produce, create, get done, however. But with the moon, it was just, I don't know where it's going though, which is good, right? And why do I say it's good? Because we've got the Aquarius card there. But that can be frightening. Now we got the moon with the Fool. When you get the moon with the Fool, there's only one other card that comes up around this. Maybe some of you guys remember this. Whenever I had a client who'd come in saying, they either want to know about the future, and I've had everything. Like, tell me what's going to happen in the next 8 years. Tell me what's going to happen in the next 4 years. And I was like, how do you want me to tell you that? Like, this is one card for the future, one card. And it doesn't just happen. Or, you know, will this business venture be successful? Is this relationship going to be successful? You know, whatever it is, inevitably, the moon and the Fool would show up. And what was the other one? The Seven of Swords can come up as well around this. Because the moon says, it's, can you walk this path in faith? Faith in what? You must know your beliefs, guys. Coming out of this season, if you do nothing else, right? You don't have a plan, you don't have a vision, you don't have a dream, you don't even like anyone, you know, all you know are your burdens. All you know is you need to get the hell out of Dodge, you don't know how, you know, all you know is what you know. At least take a moment, take the rest of the season and just focus on what beliefs are they prompted by. You know, I don't want to be around people. I want to go live in a mountain alone. What belief prompts that? Because people are difficult, because people let you down, because I've been hurt, because I've been abandoned. Because the Six of Swords, it is moving forward, but in our mind, in our thoughts and our beliefs, in how we communicate. That's how we move forward. So when you get swords and fire, it's the energy that we're putting out there, and it's in our logical, rational processes. So you've got the magician saying, hey, sorry, the magician, the moon. I hope I haven't been saying magician. Oh, I wonder if the magician's going to come up. You've got the moon saying that, hey, it's unknown. The path ahead is unknown, but can you walk it with faith? So what beliefs are you taking there? Pisces says that. And you got the fool. I used to say, always say that this time of year felt like the fool. I know the fool's Uranus energy, but it's the rebirth of the soul. That's what the fool is. The fool doesn't know anything. Really doesn't. Doesn't need to. Is guileless. Doesn't have a really even have a plan. Just knows that the path forward is to step into the unknown. So very much ties to this Aquarius card over here. And then we have the Knight of Wands, which is a sense of adventure. So you're planning for the future with the Three of Earth, which means getting your internal team ready, which means wrapping up any kind of outstanding business or whatever you've got going on, addressing any lingering issues in relationships, whatever that may be. You don't know where you're going. You know it's going to be a complete leap of faith wherever you're going, but the Knight of Wands says we must engage with it as the adventurer, as the explorer. There's something I'm working on at the moment, and you will see it because I've more or less completed. I just have a little bit more to do on it, but it's to do with the age of Aquarius. So I've heard a lot of people talk about the age of Aquarius and how it's like, you know, even giving it a date, right, is that it's going to be in 150 years, we're going to have the age of Aquarius, is ridiculous, right? If you think about it, to frame it in that way, I'm not, hear me out. If you're like, what the fuck? The age of Aquarius, I want you to consider when the age of Pisces began, right? So we're supposed to be wrapping up the age of Pisces. Not saying that we're not in the age of Pisces. I believe that I incorporate every single belief. It has to. I'm going to have come up with a unifying theory of everything when it comes to beliefs. I promise you, I'm gonna do that. You watch out. But when it started, it's like, oh my God, we're going to be compassionate and be spiritually awakened and do all of this stuff. Now, some might argue, yeah, we are. We are. But what has that done for the world? What has that done for us? How's your life looking with that at the age? Are you reaping the benefits of the end of the age of Pisces? Maybe you are. And in some ways, we are. Definitely we are. But the reason I say that about the age of Aquarius, age of Aquarius, the best place for it, where it can do you the most benefit, is always in the future. Because that's how Aquarius functions. It is the future. It is the vision of the future. Now, in one way, that means no matter how good your life gets, right? No matter how good you get, you are serving. Like, so we're looking at this Aquarius energy, the full energy. You are serving the future. Now, some of you may be doing that for yourself, you know, serving yourself, saying, yeah, I'm going to save all this money now so I can go buy that island in the Caribbean or something, whatever, right? That is an Aquarian. Aquarian is it's for everyone. It's not to escape people, it's to work with them. And so this bigger picture, the infinite, your rebirth is about, or rather in the age of Aquarius, whenever it gets in, people saying it's 100, 150 years yet. I don't get that. It can never be a place that that arrived at, and it will be a process. This is what I'm talking about. This King of Swords is a process. That I think the only way the Age of Aquarius arrives is when we all understand that we serve the future, that we serve future generations, that in our if we want to look at innovation, in our innovation, in our progression, how we progress, if we ascend, you know, spiritual beliefs, what we build, what we clean up, what we are putting together now, it is for others to, what did that say? To enjoy the fruits of the labor that we do now, in the same way that we enjoy the fruits of the labors of the ones that went before us, you know, the shoulders that we stand on. And so, for me, at best, the age of Aquarius is when maybe all of us start to see in that way. It doesn't mean we're all like sitting around reading books or, you know, doing whatever, but we find the best way for us as individuals to be free and to express who we are that serves the future, which is a process. So in that sense, we will never actually arrive at this Aquarian age, but we just get better at being like Aquarians. And in the same way, did we ever reach the Pisces utopia of spiritual enlightenment? Have we all ascended? Like, imagine if right now this was the end of the age of Aries. I want you just consider it for a moment. We're at the end of the age of Aries, and instead of the age of Aquarius, we're going forward into the age of Pisces. What is the stuff that we'd be coming out with? What would we be saying? We'd be saying that, you know, oh God, I have to do everything by myself. We don't have to. That, you know, there's something bigger than us. It's not just what I have to do, that we're going to realize that there is a God or a universe or something bigger than us, that we're part of this cosmic plan, that we're all one, right? In some ways, we have done that. But it's not physical reality. We haven't all like ascended up into the clouds or, you know, become like these Lemurians. The stories matter, but it's the belief behind them that matters more, especially when we're here at the tail end of this Pisces season, which was one hell of a Pisces season. So I break that and I use that as an example, because within your own life, you are not going to arrive. But there is something that you are willing to experience many deaths over. Many deaths, not many deaths. Many, or maybe many deaths as well. You're something that you are willing to walk into the shadows. That you are willing to, you know, drop these very important burdens. Like, you know, they're everything that you got, to declutter that. Something that you can, you're willing to go and explore it. You know, your eyes will always be on the horizon with this Fool and the Knight of Wands. Always on the horizon. I mean, you see, the Fool is looking for. The Fool is not looking down. The Fool is looking at the horizon in front, at everything that is available. And yet it takes a leap. So how we engage with things is, that's what we're fine-tuning. Which automatically will have a knock-on effect on our physical reality. But even with that Five of Pentacles that came up, right, which is a card of lack, physical lack. The physical lack is an expression of our internal lack. You know, it's the scarcity card. It's this belief in scarcity card. As a card, it's like Mercury or Venus in Taurus. So think about that. It's, you know, how do we talk about things? How do we consider what we're doing and where we're going and all of that stuff. So if the Six of Swords, which is Aquarius, is here, we have the Six of Fire down here, which is Six of Wands. And that is how we show up. Knew it. As soon as when I had that slip of the tongue here, I thought the Magician's going to come up, and there he is. So we have the Magician. We have the Tower. Wow, and we have the King of Cups. Now think, look at this. Fabulous. Oh, I want you to get one more from this deck. Let's get one for the Tower. Tower means... Well, exactly. Ten of Earth. Let's put this here for a moment. I want you to consider this, guys, because the Tower is coming up with the Ten of Earth, which is the Ten of Pentacles, right? And that's a Virgo card. I think it's Mercury in Virgo, actually. But it's, I mean, a lot of Mercury cards coming up. But you've got this Virgo card coming up in terms of... So Six of Wands, right? How we show up, what we take pride in. It's the victory. It's the homecoming hero. It's this pride in everything that you've done. There's no like, oh, God, I did that wrong. Or I've been making mistakes for so long. And, oh, shit, I need to fix that. This is that hate. Like, you know, look at what I've done. Look how much I've achieved. This is who I am. I'm the homecoming hero that survived all of this, or I'm still going through this or whatever. But you're not going to step into the shadows, you know, without this. Because then it's your light. You're shining your light out into the world. You get the Six of Wands and the Queen. Anyone remember that? You say it all the time. You get these two next to each other. In fact, this feels like an old school reading. You get the Six of Wands and the which is irony of that, right? With this all this new stuff that's coming in. And the Queen of Wands, it's how you shine your light. So this is your light that you have to shine, how you start to shine it. And then you go forward as the Queen of Wands. And you're able to do that because of what you have amassed, Ten of Earth, your legacy, your what you've inherited from, you know, if you have been a fuck up your whole life, if all you've done is mess up and hurt people, I doubt any of you, but you know, if you have even, if you've never done anything, if you've always been afraid, if you've always hidden, if you've not embraced whatever, you know, you've self-sabotaged, all of these kind of negative things, if you've done that, right, you've still amassed so much knowledge, right? You've still amassed so much awareness of physically in your life what works and what doesn't. Think about someone who was aware of, I mean, I don't know, think tarot reading. Let's say tarot reader. And imagine a tarot reader wrote a book on this is how I messed up. This is how I've... And, if you think about half the shit I say, it's about where I've messed up, right? It's, that's how we've learned stuff. And it's like, oh shit, I used to see the Hierophant as this, but now I know it's that. Or when I first started reading, I used to predict things for people. Now I realize how disempowering that is, that I was just giving them one future when they have infinite futures available to them of their own creation. I was taking away their power to choose what to do by telling them what to do. That doesn't sound like the kind of legacy anyone wants to leave behind or the inheritance that they want. And yet that is to not see the value of that. Because when you become aware of that, you can break out of the tower. That's Mars. That is Mars energy. You know, at some point, this whole season that we've just gone through, very soon, as soon as Mars leaves Aquarius, Mars will enter Pisces and is going to retrace all of these steps, and we're going into a Mars ruled season next from next week. In fact, I just double checked, I think Mars enters Pisces on the 22nd, so next week Mars is going to enter Pisces, but the Tower is the Mars card, and it's destruction. It's, I think too often it gets seen as like literal physical destruction, but I think it's a destruction, or we're liberated from the notion of what we think our legacy should be, what we think we want to inherit, right? Thinking, the thinking stuff. And being aware of what we physically have right now is the result of that, for better or for worse. Doesn't have to be good or bad. But to see it is to know something about yourself. Now, why do I say that? Well, I'm doing these in reverse that they came out. So we got the King of Cups that came up with this as well. The King of Cups is, this is not just forgetting what you know logically, but it's also the mastery that you think you have over your emotions. Whether that's to not feel stuff, whether that's to detach from this thing or that thing. I'll give you an example from my own life. So, and in fact, I've actually been feeling much better since last night. I just got a taster of what it felt like to be really ill. Like, you know, how I used to be ill. And I haven't been that ill for over a decade at least. A lot of you guys know that. So that's why I haven't done any extra talks and stuff. And this reading that I'm doing now is actually about a week and a half after I did last week's reading, because I had done that one quite early. And one of the things that I realized, somebody asked me how my friends check in on me and see how I'm doing and stuff. And I said to one of my friends, you know, it's amazing how quickly you get used to being ill again. That sounds good, right? Oh, she's not fighting it. Jay's accepting it. She's so calm. She's so chill. And she's just getting on with it. And I had a realization, and this would be that kind of Tower, King of Cups, Ten of Pentacles. I had a realization that I don't want to be chill and calm. I don't want to be okay with the fact that I'm ill, which sounds like you know, fighting it and doing whatever, that non-acceptance. And so I told a friend last night, I said, you know what? That's going to make me complacent. Like right now, and that's very King of Cups, the emotional awareness of what's going on. Right now, I don't want to be cool with being ill. And it's so weird. I said it out loud yesterday, and then last night I had a really good night's sleep, and today I feel quite good about myself. And I don't want to be that. When 20 years ago, when I needed that kind of awareness, when I was fighting against being ill, trying to fix it, doing all of that kind of stuff, yeah, I needed to, you know, just chill out, calm down, Jay, and accept what's going on. Like, face it, accept that this is part of your reality. Don't fight it. That was non-acceptance. Now I live in acceptance every minute of every day. And I had a realization that this is not the way to do things anymore. Like, you know, that I'm stronger. I'm able to do this. And I trust myself. I know where my belief comes from. Everything happens for my greater good. Like, you know, whether it's a challenge, whether it's a loss, right? I get to meet a different, stronger, a deeper version of myself through everything. But to do that, right, you cannot just treat your emotions the way that you always have. This is what I'm, this whole reading is describing to you the fire, what is being burned away in that fire. And this all motivated by your belief, right? If I believe that not fighting an illness or not, you know, not fighting for something, not stepping up, not is, if I, t I'm doing it the wrong way around, but if I say no, I'm not going to stop fighting, I'm going to keep fighting this and doing whatever, where does that stem from? It stems from the belief that if you believe in something, you have to fight for it. It means that I'm only meant to be good. That means it might mean a belief that if you're ill, it means you've done something wrong. You're getting punished by the gods. I don't believe that shit. I believe all experiences are equal. All emotions are equal. It's just we prefer some other than others. But even in the strivance for an emotion, I forget a dream or a vision, right? Even if all you want to do is feel peace, I just want to feel peace. Right? You have a, can you envision yourself being at peace? The, do you surrender to that vision? Can you envision yourself knowing what to do the same way that you know what to do right now, or you know what you've done right now, but you've got a whole different set of processes and logical, you know, ways of coming to conclusions or making decisions? Can you envision that? Part of you, we've already done that. But with the King of Cups coming up here, this is also what your spiritual story is, what your spiritual messages mean to you, what your beliefs mean to you. Can you envision being a different master of a different set of thoughts, or a different King of Cups, you know, a different kind of mastery of your emotions? Anyone that's ever done like any kind of higher education, you know it's different when you go from high school to college or to university. It's totally different. You don't have the teacher that, like, when you're at school, at least, I mean, that was a long time ago for me, so bear that in mind. I don't know how it's changed now. But when I was in school, in high school, like, you know, we had our little homework diaries and we used to write stuff down, and the teacher would be in us, we have to hand in our homework and do whatever. There's more and more autonomy. As you get older, it's on you to study. It's for on you to go and ask for the help, or go speak to your lecturer, or to get extra notes, or to work with other people in class, right? That's, you're not going to be put in groups to work on a project. Like, that's going to be you form your study groups and do whatever in that. So the way to work is not just that the information gets more difficult, it's also the responsibility that we take and how we decide to show up. There's something around that that happens. And it's the magician coming up here. The magician is communication, so there's a lot around communication coming up here. But this is also, you know, Ace of Cups, Ace of Swords, Ace of Wands, Ace of Pentacles that the magician has is a new beginning. So he uses what he knows and the tools that he has in a different way. Knight of Wands, in a different way. The Fool, in a way that you don't even know how it's going to turn out. The Magician. The Magician is the ultimate creation. So, you know, if we've got the Tower here, actually, it's fascinating. And I only remember this because I've been working so much up personally in my own life with the Supernatural deck. Again, if you know the Supernatural, there's God in Supernatural and this God's sister, Amara, in Supernatural, right? And it's the divine feminine, the divine masculine. And God is the creator of all things, the creator of humanity, the creator of the worlds, the creator of everything, right? And the Magician card is God, is Chuck, in the Supernatural tarot. But the Tower is his sister. She is destruction. And the reason they fall out is because she's always destroying what he's making. And they don't, I love it the way they've done it. It's siblings fighting with each other, right? And all she wants is the love of her family, of her brother. But he doesn't want, because you just keep destroying everything that I make. But without the two, right? Without the Tower, without that destruction, without liberating yourself from the security and the safety and the material gain and the material, you know, the devil, basically, without liberating yourself from the Tower, there can be no new. If you're stuck in that Tower, you can only build and create with what's in that Tower. Now, we've got Aquarius here, which is the vision. Have you seen a true vision? Because the Star comes after the Tower. This is a removal of the blinkers. I mean, this is basically, this reading is talking about, I said it right from the beginning, of why you decide what you decide and how you decide it. Now, I get it. A lot of what I'm saying is knowing the unknown, which is why you're not asked to know the unknown. You're asked to wrap up things. You're asked to know what your inner team is. You're asked to bring in your mind, body and spirit. Face the future as if you have no bloody idea what's going to happen there at all. And you can't imagine what's there, the moon, right? That's how you face the future. As if no matter what me or anyone else says. And that's something I would ask you to consider as well. Think about prediction. I've said it so many times. What is prediction? Is it prediction or is it manifestation? It's both, right? To predict is to manifest. And so you remember that when you're looking at doomsday predictions and stuff, that to predict is to manifest. And what's the tagline of this channel? The best way to create the future is to become it. So you face the future as if you don't know what's there. The Fool, you face it as if you don't know. You realize that you're taking a risk. Calculated risk, healthy risk, hopefully. But is it a real risk if you're going to experience something new and you will learn something new the way that you have learned in the past as well? The Legacy. The Hierophant. Taurus energy is strong, guys. I really think we're about to go into this kind of interdimensional thing and we're going to come out in Taurus season. Good luck. Hold hands. Don't worry. We got this. Temperance. Oh. Holy shit. All right. So now we've got Taurus, Gemini and Sagittarius coming up. And we've got Sag twice here anyway. And I said this last season when we had, what was it that happened? When last Sag season wasn't much of a Sag season, right? I'll be completely honest. I know that a lot of Sagittarians in my life said that. It was very serious. It was about getting, for me at least, and for one of my friends who's a Sag son, it was about getting our ducks in a row. We just worked. There was no play. And so I made a pledge with my Sag friend. We made a pledge that, hey, that, you know, we haven't literally done this, but should convey the idea that we need to get together a bail fund because next Sag season, Jupiter's going to be in Gemini. And so you got that kind of energy. Why was I saying that? Jupiter in Taurus, I mean, anything in Taurus is going to slow it down, right? It's, and not in a bad way. Sometimes we need to slow down. so we can plan, so we can put, you know, that's the whole thing with Taurus. It's like you can rush around doing stuff, but you need a plan. You need a plan of action. You need to know what you've got to work with. You need to know what you like. You need to know what your values are. So you've got the Queen of Wands here, which is Aries and Aries in the future. So it's probably Aries season. Now, in Aries season, excuse me, you've got the Hierophant coming up, which is Taurus. Which, I mean, this is part of this energy of the old, of what we've always done. Excuse me, bloody hell, guys. One second. I'm so sorry. I've got like some thyroid stuff going on. So my throat, guys, my voice sounds funny sometimes. So just bear with me. Right. So with the Hierophant coming up here, this is where you're a stickler for the rules. The Queen of Wands is not stickler for the rules. Or so she would say. Remember, right, even the most non-conformist person, so think about the weirdest person that you know, it could be an Aquarius, right, but the weirdest person that you know, or a Scorpio, or someone out there, you might think of yourself that, oh, I'm the weirdest person, I never see the world how other people see it, I'm always different, right? That is a set of rules that you have. If you say you're courageous, your set of rules is to go out, you'll start looking for situations where you can be courageous. Well, all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. So the Hierophant can be that. So if we've gone through this energy, I mean, you can have a look. So this was Aquarius season, changed up how you think. Pisces season, looked at what you believe and what you do with your feelings. So it stands to reason that now we're going to do the same with our fire. I mean, you can see it. King of Swords. I know that's Aquarius. I know that's Scorpio. I know that's Aries. But this is very much about the fact it's the mastery of it. If we want to do something new, we cannot just go by what we've mastered. And so the rules of engagement, the rules of what it means to know what you want, the rules of what it means to then go for it. Again, I'm going to say about communication, just because we've got Temperance, the Lovers here, and the Magician over there. But the thing with the Lovers, it's how we engage, right, with what we love. And that's the decision-making process comes from what we love. There's no real decision in the Lovers. There's no real decision. Because it's not a head versus heart decision, ever. It never is. That is where, when we can't make, that, and that's this, Two of Swords. I actually think that the head versus heart decision is more the Two of Swords than it is the Lovers. And you guys know I've said that from the beginning. Why? Because with the Two of Swords, and not in this one, but usually it's in front of her chest, right? She's holding the two swords in front of her chest, is that I don't want to get hurt. So what do I pick? And yet she can only pick by listening to her heart, by having the courage. But, you know, fortune favors the bold, as that card was saying. What is the vision? How do we go forward? And we couldn't see here. We're so busy trying to make the right decision backed by the right facts and data. This person can't see where they're going anyway. Once you've removed that, you realize that there's nothing to see anyway. So the Lovers is not the how we do it, the head part, that will come afterwards. But for here, Temperance, this is about creating something new with what's already there. The Magician creates from what's already there. The Temperance creates from what's already there. We give it a new meaning. What does it mean to love? What does it mean to pick from the heart? What does it mean to follow the rules? What does it mean to be traditional? Can you still honor what you honor and have faith in what you have faith in, but engage with it in a more loving way and create something new out of it? But now this is action-oriented. Queen of Wands. Might come back to this in a moment. I want to just see over here what comes up, because the advice is the Ten of Swords, which the Ten of Swords is the writing is on the wall. Like at this point, you know what needs to go. You know what has gone. You know where you're at rock bottom. You know what is finished. You know what the shadows of the past are. You know why you make the decisions that you make. There's a lot that you know. It's done. The world of Saturn. I've got a feeling this week that maybe it's the Sun and Mercury, one of them, or is it both of them? Conjunct Neptune, Ten of Cups. Think Mercury might have already done it. Nine of Wands. All right. So Ten of Swords, Ten of Cups. You see that swords air theme coming? Swords air. Swords and cups theme that keeps coming up. The air and water theme that keeps coming up. With the Ten of Cups and the Ten of Swords. So this, the world says it's over. The happily ever afters that you've set up, the dreams, right, that you've set up, they're over. The losses, what you consider losing, what you consider being stabbed in the back, what you consider a shadow from the past, what you consider like just being left in the dirt, right? Ten of Swords, it's over. There's a cycle that has completed here. We've got the Nine of Wands. Oh God, what happened there? Sorry, so the camera on the screen. We've got the Nine of Wands here, which is notice where it's already ended. Because it's where you feel tired, it's where you're like, oh God, do I have to do this again, right? It's that feeling. It's where you get defensive. It's, I'm going to give you an example. So imagine, right, if you know that you need to lose weight, right? You know that you've, no, I don't mean from an aesthetic point of view, whatever point of view you want, but you know that your health isn't doing well, or you know, you're not going to be able to fit into a uniform or whatever it is, right? There's something going on around that. And I picked this example because I think a lot of people can relate to it, right? And somebody says something like you're eating something, and they say, are you having, are you going to eat that sandwich? Like, you know, just like that. Now, that person may be saying to you, oh shit, is that all you're eating? Just one little sandwich? Like, that doesn't look like a proper meal. Can I make you something else? Is there something else I can get for you, right? Maybe that's what they intend. But as soon as you hear someone has noticed or comment on what you're eating, and I get it, people with, you know, who have eating disorders and stuff. I'm not qualified in that. Go speak to someone that is. But you know, that's where it comes from, that thing. We take it really personally. We get really defensive, right? Because it's, we realize, oh shit, they're saying I'm overeating. They're not. They're not saying that. That's where the lovers comes up, to engage in something else. That's the old rule of that. That's the old rule from your mind of how you make decisions, of how you decide what someone's doing or saying. And so now all of a sudden that has spiraled into you're calling me fat, or you're saying I eat too much. And the person's like, I didn't say that. Wherever you experience that in your life, it doesn't have to be someone else. When you look in the mirror, what you say to yourself, that is your tower that is keeping you trapped. And that's how you know that you're ready to be done with this. But there's almost this sense of that, whatever the new, the Queen of Wands, when we march forward and show up as this new person, show up as this new way of doing something, right? We blasted the past. You might literally have blasted the past, right? We got the tower here. Hey, the tower came up in the future last week, right? So yeah, I mean, this is wonderful progression. Of course, it's moved into the present. We're liberating ourselves from that tower. But it's too easy, the physical part of this, the physical body. It's too easy to just be like, right, I'm going to get these unsupportive bastards out of my life. I'm going to get rid of anyone who cannot love me for who I am, that they just comment on whatever. Do that, by all means, do that. In fact, I guarantee you, if you can just, if you change it within how you show up, how you think, how you speak, how you express your feelings, what they mean to you, if you change it from this, right, I guarantee you they, those people will go from your life. Because there's no interaction there. There's no common ground. You will feel guilty when you first start doing this. Take it from me, that's the first emotion that comes up when you start standing up for yourself, or even to yourself, is guilt. You start feeling guilt or shame, right? Most things usually boil down to guilt, blame, and shame, right? That's what it will boil down to. I remember the way I used to do it, because what I have a tendency to over-explain, right? You know, especially when I feel like I'm hurting someone. Oh, I didn't mean this, and I don't want you to think I'm doing this, and I did, you know, I know that about myself. And that's usually when I check myself, right? But because why? Because I'm afraid to hurt people. Why? Because I've been hurt a lot, right? And so that's what, if you go through your belief system, then you know why you're doing that. So I started getting in the habit of saying just no. In fact, I didn't say no, I say nope. Well, I was talking about this with friends the other day, because we had a friend, he used to hate it when I did that. When he'd say something, blah, 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 and I'd say nope, just no, not doing that, or no. And he said, and he was a Gemini, and he said, he is a Gemini still. He said, I really hate it when you just say nope, because there's nothing to argue with. There's nothing to engage with. And I said, that's the point, because I don't want to have it. It's not open for a discussion. If I'm talking about me and what I need to do, then it's just a nope or a yep, you know, but it doesn't need more than that. You can express curiosity. You can express curiosity and ask me why I feel that, why I want to do that, why I don't want to do that. That's the lovers I'm describing to you. But you don't get to talk me out of it or talk me into something. And that goes for your head and heart as well. So try that, you know, whatever it is that you really want to go for, and allow, I mean, the Nine of Wands is, they've got Ten of Wands and Nine of Wands here. Like, this is looking at shit that you feel like you need to do, have to do, have done for forever, you are committed to, but that is clearly saying to you that if you're so exhausted by the idea of this, if you get so defensive when anyone mentions something to you about it, right, is it really still your happily ever after? Is this, you know, what are you afraid of? What failure are you afraid of to come out of this? Because this is Saturn over here. The world. And I said this in a, we had a voice call. We have voice calls and a lot of the Sundays on the Discord server. Just, we hang out and just chat, catch up with each other. And we were talking about Saturn, because everyone knows I love Saturn. And I said, like, Saturn protects me. Like, I'm protected by Saturn. You're protected by Saturn. If you're watching this and you're a Pisces, you got any Pisces placements, or you're a Virgo, or, you know, Gemini, Sagittarius, whatever, you've in some way, you've got a Saturn transit going on. You're going through your Saturn return, right? You are protected by Saturn. Protected by what? You know, it doesn't mean you're protected from feeling bad, from facing things that ultimately will challenge you so that you can become all that you can be. Like, that's not what I'm saying protected. Protected means that you're held. And the way I described Saturn was being wrapped in a blanket, a Saturn blanket, or cloak. I said a cloak, a Saturn cloak. I'm protected. Can you feel that way about what's happening in your life? Can you see this? And that's what the rune was saying, right? That, can you see this as a rite of passage? That until you allow this or move forward with this or whatever it is, you will remain in that tower. You can stay in the tower. You can dream in the tower. There's no judgment. Some of us have to. Right? Some of us have to. I mean, how will some of us know that we're not in the tower unless some people stay in the tower? You know, and I bloody love those people that are on this earth playing those roles. I'm going to just say, I say this a lot in the Discord, so I'll say it to you guys as well. What would Little Red Riding Hood be without the wolf? What would Harry Potter be without Voldemort? They're part of the story too, those people. And here's the thing, right? In your world, you might be Harry Potter, or you might be Little Red Riding Hood, right? Or the huntsman, or whatever it is. You might be that. You might be Cinderella or Snow White. You might be the prince, right? But in someone else's, you are the evil witch with the poisoned apple. You are the evil stepmother. You are the wolf. And it's even more mind-blowing when you get to the point where you realize I'm actually all of them, right? That you must be, because you have a story in your head. You have a story of how it is. Yeah, if you are just committed to being Little Red Riding Hood or being, I'm trying to think of others. I can't even think of any Disney, like Cinderella or, you know, who gets her prince or Snow White or, I'm trying to think, what other heroes are there, female ones? Whatever. In Harry Potter, right, you're going to beat Voldemort. If you're just committed on playing one role, like, it will seriously impact the choices that you make. Now, this is not your goal that, oh, I'm going to embrace being Voldemort. I mean, it might be. I don't think you'll be watching me for much longer if that's the case that you, with what you want to do, right? But if you want to become Voldemort, if you want to be like the most evil person out there, if you think, right, I'm embracing the dark side, I want to go there, then you've still changed up. I mean, whichever way you take it, you're still doing something differently. You've still dropped the burdens that kept you there. You're still making decision. You're still leaping into the unknown, not knowing how it will turn out. You're still doing something different with what you have. I don't say that to encourage you to go out and willfully be horrible to people. I say that to show you that the process that is being shown here. Surrender to the vision. Remember what that said. Those who surrender to vision, no, sorry, all are capable of dreaming, but it is those who surrender to vision who are visionaries. Are you ready to surrender to your vision? And that surrendering, Ten of Swords, right? It might look like defeat. It might look like giving up. It might look like quitting. It might look like a lot of things. But ultimately, it's so you can go forward as the Queen of Wands dancing. You know, I can always imagine her dancing out of the tower almost. Free. Free to pursue a vision. Free to become the vision. Right, I think I'm going to leave it right there. There you go, my lovelies. Those were your messages. Let me know how you get on with them. I love you guys very much. I will see you next time, but that's all for now. Goodbye.